Three things to know about Wikipedia SEO with Josh Green. The In Search SEO podcast is brought to you by SimilarWeb, helping you build better SEO strategies with digital intelligence, insights, and data. Hey, it's David. What are the key things that you need to know about Wikipedia SEO? That's what we're covering today with a man who helps top brands and individuals shape their online presence to support their bottom line. He has over 20 years of experience in digital strategies and specializes in personalized SEO and paid media strategies, as well as managing Wikipedia and Glassdoor profiles. He's the founder of online reputation management company Mather Group. Warm welcome to the In Search SEO podcast, Josh Green.
Thanks for having me on, David. Excited to be here today.
Hey, Josh, thanks so much for coming on. Well, you can find Josh over at themathergroupllc.com. So, Josh, is optimizing Wikipedia presence important for every type of business?
It's probably not for every type of business, but for bigger businesses that have a public profile and that already have a Wikipedia page, it's really important to be aware of how that is impacting your online reputation.
Okay, so if you don't then have a Wikipedia profile, then it's not necessary to get someone to create one for you or to create one yourself.
There are a wide variety of reasons, but the shortest answer is just it can be a painfully long process and not work. Many companies that don't have a Wikipedia page and want one aren't going to qualify under the Wikipedia rules, which is very frustrating and also can be a giant amount of work to not get a result in the end. Companies that actually have a page that should be paying attention to how it's impacting them.
Got you. Okay, so for those who have an existing presence on Wikipedia, today you're sharing three things to know about Wikipedia SEO. Starting off with number one, know where Wikipedia content shows up.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the biggest changes over the last year or two is people think of Wikipedia as a standalone website, granted one of the top 10 in the world for visits. But that information on Wikipedia also populates the Google Knowledge Graph on the top right side of a Google search. It's going to be one of your top three results most of the time. And you're seeing Wikipedia extracts being syndicated in YouTube, TikTok, and now Wikipedia is powering a lot of the AI language models as one of their big sources. So what's in Wikipedia really has a huge impact on your public visibility and sort of the common knowledge that's out there about your organization.
And is Wikipedia still the granddaddy of all wiki type sites? Because you hear that Google will be willing to take information from other wiki type sites. Is that the case, or is Wikipedia their much preferred source of authoritative information?
It's still hugely preferred, and I think you can see that by just how high it ranks on almost any search term you're out there. So I think we're still seeing Wikipedia as the second place people go for information about a company or organization. They go to their website, then they go to Wikipedia. It'll be interesting to see how Google integrates or values Wikipedia with the SGE stuff coming out and everything going on in the industry. But I think you also have the benefit of Wikipedia is viewed as a very trusted source, which is increasingly harder to get these days with all of the AI content sort of flooding everything out there.
I was surprised to hear you say that TikTok uses Wikipedia as a content information source as well. So why? How does it go about doing that?
Why is an interesting question. If I had to guess, I'd say, well, it's free and trustworthy enough so that if you need to define a term or find out a sentence about a company to populate a caption or something like that, it's easy. There aren't that many other sources that are readily available and have good information. So I think that's just a result of Wikipedia having lasted so long and established a trusted role out there.
And the second element to know about Wikipedia SEO is know where all the places you appear in Wikipedia and how to monitor them as well.
Yeah, so we just talked a little about where Wikipedia appears outside of the site itself, but oftentimes people don't realize that there are upwards of 170 different language versions of Wikipedia and often only look at the English version. And then one thing people really overlook is all the different categories that thought leadership, research, discoveries that they're doing might be applicable. So for example, if I'm a business process automation company, there's a Wikipedia page devoted to business process automation, and I want to keep an eye on that to see if anything I'm doing to advancing the industry is showing up, if that category is being defined correctly, and if I'm being featured on that page. It may be that I'm a brand new company that's doing something cutting edge that's getting a lot of press, so that should be showing up on the business process automation page or any other related pages to that. And that's oftentimes a source of a great deal of additional traffic that companies sort of lump into general Wikipedia traffic and don't realize there's a break between just sort of the main English page and the other areas within Wikipedia where they're being found and people are seeing them.
A couple of really essential things to think about there. Obviously, you mentioned the fact that there are 170 different languages out there, but also the fact that you talked about there are Wikipedia pages for facts, for information, for processes. And a lot of brands perhaps think that it's just about their brand and what Wikipedia says about their brand, but not necessarily. If their brand can appear as a thought leader, as an authority about a particular topic, then that's an opportunity for authority and traffic. So how can you actually appear on these topic type pages on Wikipedia? Is that something that just has to happen organically, or is there a way that you can encourage editors to incorporate what you're doing as a business as well?
A lot of times it'll happen organically, but one thing companies overlook, and oftentimes there's a tendency to just hit the edit button and try and fix something, which really doesn't work well at all for many, many reasons. But there's a talk page, and you can get to that. There's a tab in the top left of every Wikipedia page out there, where if you're a company representative, you can propose changes to a page in that talk section. And that's where other Wikipedia editors, or at least this is the theory, that other Wikipedia editors who are interested in that page can evaluate that and see if it's something that should be included. Obviously, Wikipedia as a community doesn't want you going into that category page, adding paragraph after paragraph of marketing talk, which is why there's a talk page there for suggestions, requests, clarifications.
And what about the monitoring side of things? So if you're a relatively big brand, you find out that there are hundreds potentially of Wikipedia pages that mention your brand at some point. How do you monitor changes in those pages? And then how do you actually perhaps counter something that negative happens about your brand?
There are a number of monitoring tools out there. Wikipedia itself will let you set up a watch list, so you can have as few or as many pages you want, and you sort of get a change log that's ongoing of anything that changes on any of those pages. So it's essentially a Google Alerts for Wikipedia. And then a number of companies also offer free tools to sort of take that and translate it into an email notification, or very similar to SEO monitoring, if you were monitoring rankings, where you can get regular notifications in whatever fashion you want. If there's negative content that's out there, that's where that talk page will come in handy. There's a very significant element of community monitoring where significant changes tend to get reviewed fairly quickly. And then the other thing is that if you're in a really large organization, there's going to be someone who's up on Wikipedia, whether they're an editor or they happen to understand it and use it a lot, much like there's probably someone at a large company who understands Reddit, even if that's not their official role, and who can take a look at it and propose some solutions. The answer to almost everything on Wikipedia is it depends. So having someone who can look at that particular situation and figure out what the options are is always a good place to start.
And you mentioned Reddit. Reddit's certainly getting a big bump in organic traffic at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it as we're recording this, they've just had the announcement that Google's going to be able to crawl it for AI training purposes. And Reddit's really had a huge jump in visibility over the last year or so, you know, enough so that there's sort of this running joke about a 10-year-old Reddit thread can still index very, very well. So I think Google might be turning the dial back just a little bit on that in terms of the search experience. But yes, Reddit has really sort of taken on a role as another niche site that has a huge impact on search results.
And your third point in relation to Wikipedia SEO, now I think we've covered a bit of it. A third point is know what your options are for editing and getting more out of Wikipedia. Do you want to add anything else to that?
Yeah, there are a lot of rules with Wikipedia, but a big factor in Wikipedia is the idea that you shouldn't be editing your own content because you're not going to be an objective source. It's sort of the same reason you're not allowed to use press releases as a news source, because it's essentially going to be marketing and unverified material. Wikipedia really likes content that's been run through some sort of fact checking, like it's been in a newspaper or a trade publication. So oftentimes it's easy to get caught up in the fact there's an edit button and say, I'm going to fix this problem. But there are a whole lot of other options that will work much better. So it's important to understand that the different impacts that are out there of different things you can do. You know, the safest one is sort of taking a look at the history of the page, understanding what's gone on, and then looking at the talk page discussions to get a feel for who's editing it, what they're trying to do, and what's happened previously. People oftentimes don't realize that there's a history going back to when the page was started. So there's 15 years of editing history that can tell you a great deal about the ebbs and flows of content on that page. One of the nice things about Wikipedia is there is a huge amount of content produced by the Wikipedia community, their message boards for new users. That sort of research ahead of a crisis can save you a great deal of time. It's very similar to crisis communications in that if you have a plan before you're in the middle of crisis, it's a lot easier than dealing with it when you're right in the middle of sort of all kinds of different news cycles hitting you at once.
Interesting. So would you suggest then to have a look at the talk page, have a look at the history of editing of the page, and potentially reach out to someone who has previously edited the page to try and get them on board with your point of view and get them to do edits for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what the talk page is for, because that's a page that people use those monitoring tools. And for whatever reason, they're often people who've devoted a great deal of time to a particular topic on Wikipedia who know a ton about it. And that's an option to engage with them and sort of see what fits in with the page. You want to make sure that you're sort of aware of what the trends had been on that page, and it can also keep you from blundering into something like posting a list of 25 marketing awards that you've won, which will be poorly received by whoever is paying attention to the page.
And just touching on one more reputation management opportunity, Glassdoor is something that's very popular with prospective employees to see how an organization is perceived internally. Is there anything that an organization can be doing to try and ensure that their Glassdoor listing is a little bit more positive?
Yes, probably not a bad idea to talk to an SEO professional in the company, because I think a lot of times HR are the ones monitoring Glassdoor. Everyone sort of chalks that up to being an HR responsibility. But there are a lot of SEO-like tactics that people can use in Glassdoor, not least of which is sort of flagging reviews that violate the terms of service for whatever reason. We've seen people care about their star rankings and not realize that, you know, like customers have just written something about the you know, box of cereal they bought wasn't great, as opposed to what Kellogg's is like to work there. And those are sort of things that having an SEO's sort of view towards optimization make a great deal of difference, you know, because they're sentences are getting extracted from Glassdoor. They're showing up in various places. And it's a very different way of thinking of it than how HR thinks of it. So really, I would say most SEOs are familiar with sort of figuring out the rules to a given system and how it works. And, you know, sometimes you get the sense that reading the manual is the most important thing you can do to figure out how to fix some of the stuff that's going on. So in some ways, it's almost a little bit of low-hanging fruit if you need to demonstrate your value to the rest of the organization, because there tends to be a tendency to think of Glassdoor results as fixed and permanent, and that's definitely not the case.
Absolutely. Understand the essence of the negative reviews. It reminds me of a negative review on Amazon and looking into why a review was one star. And some people say that the delivery person was terrible. They just chucked the product into my garage and didn't care about it. What's that got to do with the quality of the products? You know, but you do get negative reviews for that. So let's finish off with
the Pareto pickle.
Now, Pareto says that you can get 80% of your results from 20% of your efforts. What's one SEO activity that you would recommend that provides incredible results for modest levels of effort?
I would say seeing if you can partner with the press or public relations function within your organization. Oftentimes, publications that might seem a little small to them can have a huge impact for SEO, like trade publications or local stories. But what we've seen is getting genuine press can have a huge impact on just lifting sort of authority across a wide variety of keywords and topics. So to the extent that you can sort of trail along or participate in some of the planning for press, we found that to be a very, very worthwhile thing, and definitely falling in the 20% of the Pareto principle.
I've been your host, David Bain. You can find Josh Green over at themathergroupllc.com. Josh, thank you so much for being on the In Search SEO podcast.
Thanks for having me on, David.
And thank you for listening. Check out all the previous episodes and sign up for a free trial of the SimilarWeb platform over at SimilarWeb.com.